Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. For centuries, Jewish rabbis have taught that Isaiah 53 was speaking about a person as the Messiah. Well, it's only been a few hundred years that the rabbis have taught that the passage talks about Israel. Join us now as Tom Murray continues teaching about this important passage and what Jews today believe about Isaiah 53 and the Messiah.
Well, welcome back to our broadcast. We're going into a lot of detail about the Jewish history and theology concerning the person of the Messiah. And what we've learned is that by the year 1500 A.D. and throughout the entire Old Testament period of the rabbinical teachings, all the way up to the year 1500 A.D., the majority of Jewish rabbis taught the messianic passages to refer to a person, and more specifically, Isaiah 53 to refer to a person, not to the nation of Israel. And so what we've learned so far is that the current rabbinic teaching that the Isaiah 53 refers to a person is just simply a Christian interpretation and not a Jewish interpretation is simply not true. It was the Jewish interpretation all the way up through the year 1500. That's where we are now. But we're going to see that it even goes a little bit further. It is a much more modern teaching that the rabbis have picked up. But the history of Jewish teaching would not support the fact that Isaiah 53 is addressing the nation of Israel and not a specific person, the Messiah. Now, last time I read you part of the Musaf prayer that was written by Rabbi Eliezer Kalir in the 600s A.D., and the more this Yom Kippur prayer is studied, the more interesting it really becomes. The prayer voices that we hear, or the voice that we hear in this prayer, is the fear that the Messiah has departed from the people. And it goes on to assume that Messiah had already come to them and has left them. Furthermore, the Messiah who has departed has suffered vicariously for the people of Israel, the sins of the people having been placed on this Messiah. This is clearly stated in this Musaf prayer. Now, after suffering, the Messiah has departed from them, or from Israel, and this is the cause of their consternation. Now, the people of Israel pray for the Messiah to come back a second time. And much of this prayer is a direct quotation from the Isaiah passage that we're looking at. Now, what this shows us is that even as late as the 7th century A.D., the Jewish view was still that the Isaiah 53 passage had reference to the Messiah, a person, not to the nation of Israel. This view that Messiah was a person was still dominant in Jewry in the 10th century, some 300 or 400 years later. And that is seen from the commentary of another Jewish rabbi, Yethef ben Ali. Listen to what he wrote. As to myself, Rabbi said, I am inclined with Binyamin of Nehawind to regard this passage as alluding to the Messiah. Now remember, he wrote this in the 10th century. He, that is the prophet, Isaiah, thus gives us to understand two things. In the first instant, we understand that the Messiah will only reach his highest degree of honor after long and severe trials. And secondly, that these trials will be sent upon him as a kind of sign, so that if he finds himself under the yoke of misfortunes while remaining pious in his actions, he may know that he is the designated one. Now, the expression "my servant" in Isaiah 53 is applied to the Messiah as it is applied to his ancestor in the verse, "I have sworn to David my servant." Now, this rabbi in the 10th century also recognized the passage to be in reference to the Messiah. And he makes the point that he makes in accordance with the passage in Isaiah 53, that the Messiah will reach his high state of glory by means of his suffering. Now, Jews then on into the 11th century AD also considered the Isaiah 53 passage to speak of the Messiah, not the nation of Israel. In the Bereshit Rabbah of Rabbi Moshe Hardashan, we find this, that the Holy One gave Messiah the opportunity to save souls, but to be severely chastised. Listen to what Rabbi Moshe said. And forthwith the Messiah accepted the chastisements of love, as it is written, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted." And when Israel is sinful, the Messiah seeks for mercy upon them, as it is written, "By his stripes we were healed, and he carried the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Now, by quoting from Isaiah 53, verses 5, 7, and 12, in this Bereshit Rabbah, we find certain conclusions. Rabbi Moshe said that the Messiah will save many, but that this salvation of the many is accomplished by means of his suffering. Secondly, Rabbi Moshe said, the Messiah's sufferings are viewed to be vicarious in nature, in that he is seen to be suffering for the sins of Israel. Now, another rabbi who also wrote in the 11th century, Rabbi Ben Eleazar, in his Leka Tova, has this to say about Isaiah 52 in verse 13, "And let his kingdom be exalted in the days of the Messiah, of whom it is said, Behold, my servant shall prosper. He will be high and exalted and lofty exceedingly." So among the most famous rabbis of this period was a man by the name of Moses ben Maimon, better known as Maimonides or the Rambam. In his writings, he too makes the Isaiah 53 passage refer to the Messiah. Listen, the Moses ben Maimon or Maimonides wrote this, "What is to be the manner of Messiah's advent? There shall rise up one of whom none have known before, and the signs and wonders which they shall see performed by him will be the proofs of his true origin." And Isaiah speaks of the time when he will appear without his father or mother or family being known. "He came up as a sucker before him and as a root out of the dry earth." But the unique phenomena attending his manifestation is that all the kings of the earth will be thrown into terror at the theme of him, that they will lay their hands upon their mouth, in the words of Isaiah when describing the manner in which the kings will hearken to him. At him kings will shut their mouth, for that which had not been told them have they seen, and that which they have not heard they have perceived. So the Rambam, Maimonides, quotes from Isaiah 53:2 and 52:15 in this respective commentary, and he refers to these passages to the Messiah's person, not Israel. And that was his view regarding this entire passage. It simply is not provable from Jewish history in the Old or in the New Testament period, all the way up now to the 1500s, that there was ever any Jewish teaching that Isaiah 53 referred to the nation of Israel and not to a person, the Messiah. Now, also from the 11th century, there's an ancient Jewish writing that says this, "And Messiah, the son of Ephraim, will die there, and Israel will mourn for him. And afterwards the Holy One will reveal to them Messiah, the son of David, whom Israel will desire to stone, saying, Thou speakest falsely. Already is the Messiah slain. And so they will despise him, as it is written, despised and forlorn of men." Now this writer in the 11th century presents again the two Messiahs' view, which was the common Jewish view of his of that day. One Messiah, the son of Ephraim or Joseph, is going to die. After his death will come the Messiah, the second, the son of David, whom the rabbi says Israel will reject. And he quotes from Isaiah 53:3 to prove his point. Now during this time, that is from 100 A.D. all the way now into the 1500s, we have for the first time in history, in the history of Jewish theology, that this passage in Isaiah 53 was not in reference to the Messiah, but is in reference to the people of Israel. That idea was first pronounced and propounded by Rabbi Shlomo Yitzhaki, better known as Rashi. But since he went contrary to traditional teaching, there was an immediate reaction by the Jewish scholars. And we're out of time in this broadcast, so you'll have to come back and we'll pick it up right there in tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you're enjoying this study and growing in your faith toward Christ.
Thanks, Tom. And friend, we want to thank you for joining us today and hope that you'll join us every day. Tom's a lay teacher and is proof that any Christian who's willing to ask hard questions and study the Bible can learn the truth. If you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, you can do one of two things. Call us at 901-685-3385. Or visit us on the web at www.milktomeat.org. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. And make plans to join us next time right here for The Lay Disciple.